purpose to why we do this is obviously just to be open and transparent with our finances and share with you as much detail as we possibly can that doesn't put you to sleep. And so we're really excited about it. To give everybody an understanding, Journey Church is not, and I feel it's important to say this every year at a session, Journey Church is not a typical church in that we will vote. There is no voting constituency that makes up Journey Church. Missy and I really felt at the genesis of starting Journey that politics did not need to be interwoven with the pew. Deacons, I think, and I'm not slamming churches that have this, but I believe that the focus of churches have swung way too far in the political ends of it all, with deacons really not even being what Acts 6 calls a deacon, which is there just to wait table, serve people, be there to help. It's really become power voting, all that, and I just don't find the kingdom at all endorsing that type of focus. And so the business end of Journey Church swings toward what we have created called an executive board. And that is made up of pastors and people that I have looked at and looked toward as mentors and leaders to help me govern what it is that God has put on our shoulders to govern with Journey Church. And so the executive board has been made up for a while, and we got an empty seat that we're looking to fill here this year, and I'll share why that is in a minute. But before we had this empty seat, it was made up of Pastor Steve Lummer. Again, he's been in ministry now. He's walking into almost his 40th year in pastoral ministry. I'll tell you what, I look to guys like that who have been where we are and give us advice and thoughts and warnings, and people that aren't intimidated to tell me no. Like, these are people that I've worked for, that I still look up to, and I would still work for Steve Lummer. My goodness, he just seems an incredible man of God, and so he's an authority figure in my life. He checks in on my life regularly, ensuring that our finances are done right, that our finances are done with integrity, that I'm living my life morally. He'll ask me, how's your prayer life? Start to ask me about moral issues, ensuring that I am where I need to be, because I don't believe anybody is beneath accountability. How many know what I'm talking about? And so we all need to serve underneath accountability and leadership. And then Pastor Doug Reed is a part of our executive board as well. He replaced Pastor Terry Baum, who used to be a part of our executive board in the early years, who was an incredible pastor as well, but just felt a call to step off and go focus on his church plant. Terry Baum did, who pastors No Limits Church in Orlando, Florida, does a fantastic job there. But Doug Reed has come on. And again, he's somebody that is walking almost into his 34 years of ministry experience, incredible wealth of knowledge. He's probably the one who's hardest on me than anybody. I'll just leave it at that. He's hard, man. He digs into my psyche, my mind, and just ensures I've got the right focus and everything, and has really given us a lot of advice. And then Shafana Henderson, which is the seat we're replacing, has been an incredible attribute specifically to the start of this church and how we got going and getting us compliant. She's the one that created and did all of our application for our 501c3 status, created the systems and mechanisms by which we did our accounting to handle this church. So incredible. She's got a degree from Columbus State University in Ohio in non-for-profit business management and just did a wonderful job. And so that seat, she's stepping out, feeling called in a different direction. So we're looking, and I'm praying for somebody to occupy that seat in our executive board. And I've got people in my heart, but we're looking to. And we'll share that with the church once that comes out. We're really excited about that. And then this man right here, Randy Garner, who, my goodness, you've been doing this type of stuff for a long, long time. Way back in the St. Peter's Assembly of God days, when Dave Blunt, the pastor of Church on the Rock, was the pastor of St. Peter's Assembly of God. That's crazy. Yeah, so he's been a church treasurer and has done those types of things in the books, and just he brings that wealth of experience to just church financial integrity. And so he has just served to be a great benefit on the financial end, as Randy serves to be our treasurer officer of our executive board, and so we're really excited about that. So not only are they a mentor to me, but the authority structure of our church runs through them. For instance, we did not buy this property or could not buy this property without the approval of the executive board. Those decisions just, I can't go and just shoot decisions everywhere. That has to come up through the decisions of our executive board. And so that's the makeup. And it's a team of people that pray for us and pray for you and speak just faith into us. And many of them have a ministry presence here. As you know, Doug, he has a ministry presence here. Steve Lummer has had a ministry presence in our church every year since we've started. And so we're really looking forward to that new addition as well. And so I just wanted to share that as far as the infrastructure of our church. So, but again, we want to be transparent inside of what we're doing. And so I want to give you just some breakdowns, and we'll kind of save questions toward the end. So if something you see is maybe putting a question mark in your mind, you want some more detail on it, write it down or punch it down in a note section of your phone, and feel free to ask us at the end when we give you guys room for some questions. But let's take a look back at last year financially here at Journey Church. And so let me give you an overview. The total income for 2017 here at Journey Church was $528,376.42. That's record breaking. We have steadily increased every year, and that's something to truly celebrate. I'm thankful to God for that. Amen. I think that's absolutely awesome. We're going to break down what that means, but man, I just love that right there. Amen. And our total expense for 2017, $515,420.78, which brought a net gain to our overall accounts to just right under $13,000. Just to kind of give you guys a comparison of 2017 versus 2016, take a look at the next one. Our total income for 2016 was right under $500,000. And as you can see, our expense, now I know you're maybe looking at me like you are a horrible steward of God's finances. We were very transparent in our last session that is, was in due part to that children's wing over there. As you know, we ran into some obstacles when we built this building, and we weren't able to finish it as we had some misunderstandings and miscommunications with the city in regard to the sprinkler system we had to put in. And so that put additional weight down on what we had to do, causing us to compromise certain aspects. And so the children's wing was the most expensive portion versus the office portion. And so we did that, and that ended up costing more than we were able to take in. And so our general fund account took a hit in that amount that year. And so that was not a fun year, to say. We tightened belts in 2016, I'm telling you. It was slim pickings, but we got it done. And that is a beautiful children's wing over there. I know you would agree. Amen. All right. Hey, let's go to the next slide here as we get back to 2017. And I want to give you, this is the income breakdown of 2017's income categories, the best that we can give you here. Obviously, the largest chunk of that sits in our tithes and offerings. This is general tithes and general offerings. This is not Mission Sunday giving or anything like that. This is just general tithes and offerings. That equated to right over $375,000. Just to give you a breakdown on what that was, that's right over $7,100 a week that has come in, which is considerably more than 2016 even. Like I said, 2016 was right around $6,800 a week. And so our general tithes has gone up from year to year, and that's something to praise God about too. I think that's healthy growth inside of our church, but that right there is a big number to celebrate. Give you a little breakdown of just the tithes and offerings. Of that $377,000, $145,000 of that online donations. And so what would that, that's probably what, 35%? 35, almost 40% of our giving right there has come through the venue. That's about 40% of our giving has come online now. And so obviously as we just become an increasingly cashless, checkless society, that's where that comes from right there. And so That's that big chunk of our income. Missions accounted for right under $63,000 of that. Just to give you a breakdown of that missions income, a big chunk of that, as I shared on Sunday, comes from just La Providence. Just our giving to La Providence equated to $28,754.28. So right under $29,000 of that amount was La Providence. The next big part of that was our Belize missions trip. When we went to Belize, obviously that income that people raised for themselves went through that fund, as it's a missions fund. Belize was $34,232. And so obviously those two right there, and then Beauty for Ashes accounted for the remainders of that missions income, which came in. Do you have that amount on what came in for Beauty for Ashes? Which we gave, almost $3,000 to Beauty for Ashes last year, and that's a fantastic thing to be a blessing to that ministry right there. We brought in just under $2,000 of it, but I know we had some money in the account from 2016. That's why we ended up giving almost $3,000 to that ministry right there. And that's great. The Dream Center, the Dream Center, that is just what we're wanting to do back in that apartment. So that is for our 24/7 drug and alcohol, and I'm going to share that in just a little bit, our substance abuse home that was raised through our Night of Dreams, as well as what comes in on Sunday. There are people that do give still to that. So all those dollars accounted to that total right there in 2017 for the Dream Center. That's what came in there. And then our youth, right under $25,000. I can just probably tell you 95% of that was youth camp. Had come in through youth camp, because youth camp, I mean, my goodness. How many students did you take to youth camp this past year, Jake? And leaders, everybody total. 91. And so times, you know, that's a lot of money. It's expensive to go to youth camp. And so, and then other general fund income. I know that looks like a significant amount, just to kind of break down what that is, like crew events, particularly our retreat, our Forge retreat. We took right at 30 guys at the tune of $150 on a retreat down to Ponca, Arkansas. Refuge, our women's retreat, she took over almost 30 people at the tune of $100 a person. Kids Project, somebody had donated money for our doors. If you see toddler and nursery, the doors are in half. We finally got those. I've prayed for half doors for a long, long time, and our own at least. And so that was $1,700 it cost to do that. Whew, it's expensive to get half-cut doors. And so I was like, baby gates are fine for now, until the nursery workers are like, no, it's not. They're breaking out. And so they were, man. Like, once Mabel and Maley break out, it's off. They're taking off. So anyhow, that was what that, like, that's general fund income, groups income, sports, any accounts transfers, income that comes in from, like, kids camp t-shirts, those types of things, that accounts, returns, refunds. If somebody spends something and then they return it, like, that money has to come somewhere. So it goes into what we call other general fund income. And that's where that accounts for right there, that income. And then outreach is general outreach income that comes through, like, our Christmas outreach, any income that's coming through that, back to school outreach we did last year. What else am I missing on that? Adopt a block expense, you know, income that's coming through those venues, all that accounts to right about that amount right there, exactly that amount right there. So that's our income breakdown, the best that we could give it to you right there with our income. Again, that accounts for the $28,000. Let me show you the expenses, just to kind of give you a breakdown of the expense. Again, $515,420. And then let's start with the first category, which is administration, which is a category inside of our church. The primary of that being of the $218,000 is our salaries and taxes, which sits right under $200,000. If you remember, in 2016, we haven't changed the amount of staff. 2016, we were right at 168,000. $1,000 with salaries. That's, just so you know, that's 5 full-time staff. So, you know, the staff of Journey Church is not lavished in any way. We were able to, in 2017, praise God, and I'm so excited for that, to bring $30,000 of increase divided by the 5 staff for 2017. And so that was a big blessing to the homes of our staff. And we look for that to continue this year as God provides to do another increase, but we just didn't see it in the immediate budget. And so we're praying for that to come, because we got a great staff. They work tirelessly, feverishly. They commit. They are a ministry to all of us and our families and the different areas that we do here at this church. But that's the majority of it right there. And then general fund expenses, just to kind of give you a breakdown on what that meant when you see something like that, was planning centers, a big part of that. Planning center was right under $5,000 just for planning center. And planning center is our church database software. It's like how you got your giving statements. It's how we manage that. It's how we manage our giving. Every single person that comes to Journey Church goes into Planning Center, whether it's through a connection card, you check your children in, or you give. We've got right at 2,500 active members of Journey Church. You look at our attendance. Obviously, we don't have 2,500 in attendance yet, but we do have a big attendance inconsistency with many, many people at our church. And so we're praying that God closes the holes on that so that we can start to see, some more consistency inside of people's attendance trends. But again, our volunteer scheduling comes through Planning Center. So that's the biggest part of our general fund expenses right there. Some other things of what that accounted for is the Houston flood relief. When Houston experienced the flood from the hurricane, we didn't take an offering up for them. I think where we were at that time, it was like I just didn't feel comfortable asking for another offering. We were doing something at that time, I remember. But I was just like, we got to give. And so we gave, right, I think $1,000 or something along those lines to...
We tithed on whatever came in that day.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for saying that. The Lord spoke to me that, like, whatever comes in on that day, we're to give a tithe of it. Tim's saying you got to speak into the mic for those that are on the podcast that are listening to us. All over the world, they're listening to us.
Yes.
Hello to the Philippines.
Yes.
Hello to Israel. Amen.
I had suggested that we gave a tithe on the offering that came in that Sunday morning for Houston flood.
We had really felt that direction after that idea, and that was really awesome. And so that's where that came in. Bank service fees is inside of that. Every gift that's given, I mean, again, you got a lot of online donations, right around 2.5% is the charge that we pay for that. It's just electronic transfer fees, but I mean, that comes out of that right there, and that makes up the majority of it as well. To babysitting, like we cover child care for like leadership meetings and stuff like that for people that go above and beyond in their attendance, and they've got little ones, we pay for that. And so those are just some of the things that make up the expenses inside of that. FG&A is what we call food, gifts, and appreciation. If we were to ever take somebody out, one of you guys, we were taking you out and we paid for it, like we just, it's just taking care, it's appreciation in the church in that regard with food, a meal for somebody in a hospital, a funeral. Sometimes the church has come on board to provide that for other people, as well as the majority of that, though, is through the volunteers of our church, donating those meals themselves. Gifts, somebody goes to the hospital, flowers, those types of things are given out. Appreciation, anything in a volunteer capacity, to a banquet that we did for our Impressions team last year, to their various teams, whether it's some pizza that's purchased. I mean, that has to be accounted for in some category, and that's where that goes in right there. And so just so you know, that's the bottom line there. Cell phones, just benefit. And then I thought this was interesting, and I wanted to share this. Is I don't believe 7 is the number of God in this category, but $777, I mean, was the cost of just return checks of when people wrote a bad check to the church. And it still surprises me that the company that the check is being written to has to pay a penalty for the check that was written. And so, but that's what comes out. Like, we pay that off a bad check. So we always just encourage, you know, and I don't want to say that on church on Sunday. Like, you know, if you're writing a check and you got the money and you got the goods for it, write it to Journey Church. I don't want to say that. But I thought that was interesting. Like, you just, there's these expenses you don't think about that are like, man, you didn't think spend close to $1,000 on bad checks, but that's what you end up spending on. So anyhow, that's the breakdown of administration. Just to give you a breakdown of another category, facilities is a big one. Obviously, the primary of those ones being mortgage. That's our mortgage to People's Bank and Trust, who we have our mortgage through. Our mortgage is right at $600,000 that we owe for that. That was, you know, purchasing this place and renovating it the best that we possibly could. And then utilities, that's what it costs to keep the lights on, which I'm impressed. So a big thank you to our staff, particularly Tim Overstreet, who's our staff member that not only over an incredible music ministry, but he's over our facilities department. And so he manages that. And so if you find it a little chilly even on a Sunday morning, it's because he's just trying to save the church. Amen. That's all. But anyhow, or, you know, like, he just managing the facilities, the utilities of that level, I think is great for a building that's right under 17,000 square feet. I think that's absolutely fantastic, especially in the cold winters that we do have sometimes here. So improvements, you know, anytime something breaks or repairs, I think Tyco's what, right around 7,000 of that is what we pay to govern the the sprinkler system. We pay them to monitor the sprinkler system. It's about 7,000 a year. Anyhow, why can't this just be automatic? You know, so and outside of that, just any improvements that we do to the church, that sits right inside of that category there. Repairs and maintenance inside of there. Our insurance on the building, which we were able to lessen this year. So next year's session, we'll see insurance go down right around $1,000 overall. That's really fantastic. Big props to Angel Layer for that. And then cleaning. That's, you know, Windex and toilet paper right there. We know how to go at Journey Church. Amen. $1,000. So, amen. But we're glad. That's awesome right there. That's kind of a breakdown of our facilities costs. Missions and outreach, as far as expenses concerned, wanted to give you that. Again, what comes in for La Providence goes right out to La Providence. Again, the big part of that is our Belize trip was a monstrous makeup of that. And then 2,000 of that was Jamaica, where they invited us to come out and do their pastor's conference. What was very interesting is, when you're invited to go speak at a pastor's conference, like, they're paying for you to go in. And then usually they give you an honorarium. But these are very poor nations, so they can't even afford to do that. So Journey Church, Evangel Church, and Destination Church were the three pastors that were invited to go and be part of this. And so our church is all put in. So Journey put in $2,000, Destination put in $2,000, Evangel put in $2,000, and that's, we put the conference, we paid for them to be able to come to a conference, receive, be encouraged, and be blessed. And we even paid for meals for them to eat, and it was just awesome to see life being put in. Like, every pastor in Jamaica was virtually bivocational, so it was really awesome just to see them taken care of, blessed, and treated like royalty. And this church was able to provide that, and I thought that was absolutely so awesome. So again, that was a big part. The Dream Center was $14,000 in expense, and I don't know, like, that may be a red flag for some of us here. You know, you're like, because we haven't opened up the home yet, so how in the world we spent $14,000 on something we haven't opened? The primary expense right there was right over $6,000 was put for the Night of Dreams banquet. That's what that cost to put that banquet on. And the primary of that was the food inside of it. And then the stuff to make it, and like the serve it and stuff. Rent a lot of equipment because we don't have a kitchen that you know, does that type of stuff. And so there was just a lot of cost to that. But it was a really worthy cost. I mean, I was like, $6,000, what? But out of that night, $37,000 came, you know, with the so it was a great return on the investment there, and that was fantastic. Plus, word got out of what we're trying to do, and I'm going to share with you the updates on what we get to do with the Dream Center, and it's really, really exciting. And so that that was a big part of that. Other expenses inside of that was Dream Center Network. We can't take the name Dream Center without paying for it. And then we're also tied in with LA, and they are, you know, a network of resource to us, and that's $2,500 a year to be part of the Dream Center Network. And as we know, the apartment, you know, Reagan is there. Essentially, he's our first resident of our Dream Center. It's neat to see God rebuilding his life there. But there's utility costs right now that exist inside of that. Renovation and repair costs that we've done to make the apartment ready as it is. We had to replace the water heater inside of there. And thank you, Rich, for being part of that, because we didn't have to pay labor, I don't think, right? And not that we were trying to use you, but that was awesome. Yeah, you didn't see it. But there's just expenses that has caused, and that's just been completely toward that apartment. And then, like I said, the Dream Center Network and the banquet, that's what makes up that total expense. And then outreach in general, if you remember on our income, and we didn't bring in that much. We brought in right under $5,000 for outreach, but we spent that much. And then again, that's Adopt-A-Block, school supplies, any efforts that we've made, Christmas outreach, those types of things. We did some smaller Thanksgiving outreach, you know, to some of the neighbors that we serve in Adopt-A-Block, and that's where that amount comes out of right there. All right, our next category is our office. That's just another significant category I thought it would be important to highlight. Of that 16,000, you know, about 25% of that is printing and duplication. And the printing and duplication is our copier for the most part, which we got an awesome copier. We should take a tour after here and just go look at it. It is awesome. If you knew what we had when we started, it's incredible. We just had a printer. And so we'd like, anyway. All right, computer hardware, software needs and purchases, online services, you know, inside of that fits like our Journey Church app, to our website costs, to just anything that we do online there from our offices to kind of govern what it is we do. Internet access and hosting. Actually, no, I'm sorry, that's reversed there. Online services, like our utilities comes out of that. I'm sorry, our electronics, like Charter, those types of things come out of there. Internet access and hosting. And then miscellaneous, what I had there was like staples, paper, water, postage, and shipping, all those types of things where I'm like, it shouldn't be that much, but it was crazy when she started itemizing. I was like, man, those things add up fast, especially at the level that you do it in a church our size, but that's where that came out of. Our next category, and I just kind of wanted, these are other categories, just to give you an FYI, I didn't see the need to really break down every single thing, as I've seen five of you yawn already. And so the category of services and events primarily lands inside of our guest speakers. And so we've brought in Doug Reed three different times. We brought in Steve Lummer. You know, with that not only comes an honorarium that we do give that bounces between $1,500 and $1,750 each time they come. But I don't like taking up second offerings personally. When I was part of just being in the seats of the church and a guest speaker came, we had our tithes and offerings, and then after that, the guest speaker would be done preaching, and then the pastor, anybody come from a church like that, would come up on the platform and be like, now we're going to receive the offering for the guest speaker, and I'm always like, ugh, you know, not that I'm not, I guess that is greed, and I need Jesus for that, but I just didn't like that, and I don't like to put that pressure on our church, and so we worked that inside of our budget to be able to take care of that and remove that load off the church, because we tried it one time, and I just didn't like the feel of it at all, and so that's where that, and then again, that's not just the honorarium, but that's flights and travel, hotel, taking care of their meals while they're here. There's a lot of expenses that come into that. So that's our services and events there that require guest speaker. Crew and Savor, that's what we spent there for Forge and Refuge, along with other events. Like, you know, that's just every event we do has some type of cost to it, to our men's and women's ministry, and that's what came out of that. But probably 85-90% of that was right out of those big Forge and Refuge events right there. impressions ministry expenses. That's what we spend in the cafe. If we buy t-shirts, all those t-shirts, you know, that comes out of the impressions area. That's impressions usually isn't that big, but we pay for that up front because it's not like we work a deal out with the t-shirt company. As we get the income, they get it. No, they're like, pay for it up front, and then, you know, we suffice it on back. So that's the primary of that expense being. Two, you know, Dean, I know we've probably bought in some stuff for our parking posse at times, to those types of things. That's where the impressions budget comes from. Media and production budget is lighting needs, software needs, sermon visuals inside of that. CCL license. You know, I still find it weird that we gotta pay a company to sing worship songs or we'll get sued. But yeah, people that write worship songs today, if you sing their songs without their permission, then they can sue you. And churches have been sued for tens and tens and a couple of them, the mega churches, hundreds of thousands of dollars because you didn't pay for the license to worship. All right. Anyway, I think the Apostle Paul would have something to say about that. But we don't want to get sued, so we're going to pay it. So we do that as well, but that's probably one of the minor costs. Again, sermon visuals that we've done, that all comes out of our media and production budget. I did forget to mention services and events like Easter, Christmas, like our candlelight communion services, Easter egg hunt, all those types of things all come out of services and events budget. And then vehicles. We've got two big, beautiful yellow vehicles that do cost money in the context of keeping those babies up to par. And then travel expenses. Last year we did take the majority of our team out to Arizona to a pastor's conference and took care of their flights and hotel, and that's really a minimal expense right there that we were able to do, and we're proud to do it for our team there. Some remaining categories here to kind of break down the expense. You can move forward. Is youth spent $31,878. And you might remember in the income category, they didn't bring in near that. It was like right under $25,000. But a big part of that expense was they had to pay, was that the camp deposit that we had to pay? So like we had to put, we wrote a check for what was the amount? Right around $6,000 to put a deposit on camp. And so that came out of the general fund budget, but it was deducted off the youth. And so that's why they kind of ended the year in the red, but that's an unfair ending because they, you know, they just had to put a deposit out they didn't have. Children spent right at $8,500. So when Danny was talking about what he said on the offering on Sunday, you know, from glue sticks, there's the details of what that is, down to the curriculum. He said that in the first service was, you know, we have the best curriculum that's available in the nation for children's ministry. It's called Orange. It's fantastic. And I absolutely love it. And that's, how much is Orange, just the curriculum? $2,200 for the curriculum. But it maps out your plans, your lessons plans. It makes it really easy for our teachers and teachers' assistants. It's just a fantastic, I mean, it's incredible. I love it that we're able to do it. It's awesome. It has parent cues, how to connect the parents to the lesson. I absolutely love it. And then advertising expenses, as you see our billboard there on 61, that's the primary expense outside of an occasional Lincoln County Journal ad. But we're really close to ceasing newspaper advertising, as we noticed for Easter last year, we intentionally did not advertise in the paper just to see what our results would be. So we just did online advertising free through like Facebook, and we maybe sponsored a couple ads through Facebook, which is like $5 to $10 per time that we do that. And our attendance was higher than it was the year before in the paper, so we just thought, well, that's awesome. So anyhow, that's the primary of our advertising being. I think that's what I got in that. What's our next slide there? I just wanted to kind of show you at the end of the year, after all of our income and expenses, this is what the account balances were that exist at Journey Church at the end of the year. Our general fund account, again, these are accounts where salaries come out of, mortgage comes out of, utilities comes out of, all those expenses that come out of, we sat at $54,000. And that's a testimony, because if you remember 2016, we were $39,000 in the hole. So we walked into 2017 with a limp. And so that was a big blessing to have not only replenished what it is that we walked in with, but to come in with more. Shows just a testament to the stewardship of our church, the stewardship of our leadership team. They just did a fantastic job in getting us back to where we were. Because that right there, as you can see, I mean, right at about 30 days, you know, of expense, you know, and I think that's a good reserve to have. That's kind of zero balance at Journey Church, if you would, right around 50. And so that's a big blessing right there. The Troy Dream Center, obviously, we sit there with $32,000 in the account right now. And so just to let you guys know where we're wanting to go, where we're equipped to go, is with that money, we will be able to June 1 open the Dream Center officially. And so we are limited, obviously, with the amount of money we have to open it from June to December. But what we did feel important to do is to not open it up for a six-month or a year-long program when we first start. We want to do a three-month program. We've looked at teen challenges. I don't know if you're familiar with Teen Challenge. It's probably the most successful substance abuse rehabilitation residential ministry that exists in America. By David Wilkerson that started that ministry. And so they have really incredible three-month programs, 3 and 6 month programs. And so not that we won't ever go to a year, because I do see those things being offered, but we've got enough to do a three-month program with this amount. And so starting June 1, and inside of that, not only are any remaining furnishing costs that we're going to do, that's all in our budget. We're going to be able to finish the furnishings in there. We're going to be able to purchase a vehicle for the Dream Center so that our guys can be transported, because I don't know if you know this, work therapy is really about 70% of what a resident of the Dream Center will do. You know, we do adopt a block once a month. These guys will do it virtually every day, 4 to 6 hours, just serving the community, sweeping streets. You've heard me preach this vision 6 years ago, and we're finally seeing it able to come to fruition. Alongside insurance costs, and then we're going to ask for a few staff members to come on, where we're going to ask guys to join us in helping lead these guys. And so I'm really, really excited about being able to do this. And so just to give you guys an update, Sheriff Cottle, I got to meet with Sheriff Cottle, and he is setting me up to meet with our prosecuting attorney, as well as judges and probation officers in our community here. They want to work to establish the Dream Center as alternative sentencing. And so for somebody that is at Troy County Jail that has 3 months left on their sentence, we would get to approve every person. They would qualify to where they would say, you can finish your sentence at the Dream Center. And if you finish their program with their thumbs up, then that would even significantly drop their probation rates. It's really awesome what's happening right now. And I'm probably getting in trouble for prematurely sharing these types of details, but that's Jesse Kiro's a lot of times. So, but that's really exciting, and I'm excited about that. So June 1, you know, two of the four residents that we're going to have there, we didn't want to start full on alternative sentencing, but we're going to strive for two to be, will be sentenced to the house of God by a judge. How cool is that? A gavel to go, I sentence you to the church. Come on, somebody, that's powerful to me. And so I'm really excited about that, but that's all that money in that account. And then once that's done, our prayer is, and our expectations are, we're going to have four great testimonies to share at our next year, this year, man, it's already 2018, this year's Night of Dreams Gala, to where, you know, people gave toward this incredible ministry, and we'll be able to show the results of that by going, here's four graduates of it, here's their testimonies, now we want to do 2 to 3 more 3-month programs over the course of the next 12 months, would you give toward that? And we're believing for great things to come from that. And so I just wanted to share that's what we've got in our account balance, and that's absolutely incredible. I'm excited about it. La Providence is $8,800 is in that account balance. And, you know, we felt it important, and that's actually a low number. Our goal is to have right around $12,000 to $15,000 just sitting there, just because of the instability possibilities that exist in Burundi. You know, with the threats that the government has in corruption. I mean, if something breaks out, because obviously, you know, Hotel Rwanda, those all the stuff that happened in Rwanda, like Burundi's right next to Rwanda, same tribes, same situations happened there. So they're a brand new democracy that has just come out of disgusting civil wars. And so, you know, there's always opportunity in countries like that for tremblings to happen. And so we asked our teams out there, like, what if something happened? Like what if? Like the city just went nuts and everybody had to scatter and flee. Like, what would happen with the kids? Like, you know, would we lose these kids? And so we thought it important to have some type of emergency reserve to be able to activate, you know, whatever strategy we need to extract those kids from where they're at and transport them to safer places, even if it's over in Rwanda. There's a missionary contact in Rwanda that I'm wanting to build a relationship with to maybe be part of that. So, you know, we're trying to be good stewards of the kids, because I don't want to lose out on what it is that God's called us to invest in. And that would be absolutely horrible to know where our kids are at. And so we want to know where they're at all times and be equipped just in case. So we just want to be good stewards of that. But just to share, like, that account balance last year, I believe, Randy, was right around 11,000, and it's gone down a little bit as giving has kind of gone down over La Providence. But I'm really encouraged over the response of the strawberries fundraiser. We had right under 100 packets taken, and there's never been that many packets taken. And so, and we still got another week to fulfill packets to go out. And so I think the year before that, we had like 60 packets taken, and before that was like 50. And so for 100 to already be taken out the gate, and if those 100, each of them just sold like 10 dozen, you know, that's 12,000 strawberries we're going to make. Well, last year we did like 6,000 to 7,000. So, I mean, I think we're going to experience the best financial year La Providence ever experienced, and so I'm really excited about that. That's going to be a big blessing to the staff. And then Beater for Ashes, our account balance was that. And again, we give once that account hits 1,000, it activates for us to send them $1,000. And so that's what we do right there. But yeah, that's our account balances. And this last one is just kind of a projected budget. Go to the next one though, if you would, Jake, and I'll go back to that projected budget. Just to give you guys a breakdown over our entire expense budget here that you've seen. This is kind of a breakdown of what that looks like. The executive board has said, you know, what a healthy divide for these types of things in a church that's successful. It should be 40-40-20. It should be 40% operations, 40% salaries, and 20% missions and outreach. And so this is kind of like, this was kind of a new direction that was given to us just this past year. Just through research, and the board had kind of brought that to us, and so I was like, you know, I like that. So we were out of balance with that. Operations were way up. Salaries were even lower than that. Like, I think it was about 33%. And so we're striving to even that out and operate at that level going forward. And so we did pretty good in 2017, getting close to it. And so we look to, by the end of next year, showing you guys in the next session that 40-40-20. And so just wanted to share that with you guys right there. 40%, 44% operations, 18% missions and outreach, and 38% salaries is what accounts for the expense in that breakdown there. All right, you can go back to the other one if you would, Jake. And just to give you guys an idea of our projected budget, it's really not crazy different. The increase primarily is in Journey Church for the reason of just giving. I believe that we're going to see an increase in giving. I believe that God's going to move in the hearts of our people, and we're going to start to see just hearts attach more. And so that's really what I sense that in my spirit. We're getting ready to do an incredible series here in the spring that I'm really excited to bring to the church, and I just think it's going to impact what it is that we're going to have the ability to do. And so that's kind of where we're looking at there for our budget. And then the Dream Center, that's my prayer, to be able to equip three more 3-month programs inside of that. We would be able to accomplish for 50. And then mission support, obviously, that's going to be in large in due part to what comes in and goes out for La Providence and Jamaica, which is the main missions experience that we've got going there. So that's really what we're looking ahead to do. And my goodness, I've tried my best to share the details as I've known them to be that Randy has worked feverishly to prepare and for me to communicate. So does anybody have any questions whatsoever in what has been presented? Yes, sir. Yes, alternative sentencing for the Dream Center. Yes.
And I guess my question would be the commingling of funds from the government into the church and what kind of
restrictions. Absolutely. The main fire and the question that's being asked for anybody listening to the podcast is we've got alternative sentencing that we just announced are going to be here for the Dream Center. There's usually the assumption that there's going to be some type of government grant monies that's going to be granted to any organization that does and takes somebody's state property, essentially. And with us, how's that going to protect, you know, restrictions and mandates that the government would put on to be responsible for the dollars that are given to our organization? You know, what we have seen is the main thing that government is looking for to protect them is non-discrimination in who it is that we receive in as a member or a resident. We are able to discriminate based on faith, staff, and leadership, and that doesn't disqualify grants. And so that was one of my big questions when we sought that is, are they going to, you know, are we going to get in trouble for, you know, I've got to have every demographic represented on our staff team, you know, or they're going to pull or penalize us or anything like that. But the only thing we worked this through Pat Flynn, who was helping us create the 501c3, and we had asked these questions. It was all worded inside of our bylaws and constitution when we were writing our 501c3 ministry that any grant monies given, you know, it's understood this. And so when we make that application for grants, like there will be grants we don't qualify for because of that, but there will be grants that the government does allow. I think it's, and I don't know why they allow it. I think it's maybe just they see the effects of what the Dream Center and Teen Challenge does, but we are protected in that. And we're going to continue to see that process unfold, but we've got that at the front of our mind as we pursue these grants. As we've looked for, I think it can be up to $1,300 a month down to $600-$700 a month per resident that would be given to us just to take care and you know, all those types of things. And so. No, that would be just money given. We would account for, though, at the end of that time or whatever period, you know, that they require that accounting to be given to them. We would show them down to the nth degree and penny what it is that we spent in regards to that. But, yeah. Yeah. Yes, you wanted to say something.
I did want to say something, excuse me, that part of the protection I think we have as an organization is that the Troy Dream Center is a separate 501c3 from Journey Church, so that the funds, the way it's going to be set up and organized, is that the funds that are given to the Dream Center that we have in, say, the church account now in Bank of America will go to the Troy Dream Center once we have finalized the 501c3, which it has its own set of as Jesse mentioned, bylaws and constitution and bylaws separate from Journey Church. So there will be that type of separation so that I believe then, you know, how we run the church will not be impacted.
Right, it's still a religious organization, but because you have the opportunity to be under different categories of 501c3, education, you know, religion, and all those. But so we are a religious organization. but it is a little bit more, it makes the government a little bit more apt to give a grant because we're not a church body. And that's also liability that protects Journey Church, because if a resident, something went wrong and they tried to sue, they couldn't sue Journey Church. They could sue the Dream Center. And so the majority of the assets of the Dream Center, once they're given, we're going to hold them under the name Journey Church. Like Journey Church is renting the Dream Center, even though there's no money, renting the Dream Center, the apartment. So there's no assets really that belong to the Dream Center. So it's sue me for what? You know, so it's just be one of those things, and our insurance protects that as well, because we had to get separate insurance through the Troy Dream Center just to be able to protect all of our teams and residents and volunteers. Does anybody else have any other questions concerning that, or any information that's been given out? Yes. Yes. Has to be in place before we open. We expect to have everything done by March. Everything's already done, and so it's applications were submitted months ago, and so we just expect all the paperwork to be done. It's Jeff City. It's process, and so we'll have all that done by March. That's all in their hands. We've done our part. We're just waiting on them, but. Worst case scenario, to your point, we're incorporated, so we could operate the non-for-profit out of Journey Church. We would just not be able to qualify for grants. And that's, the grant would be just icing on the cake. So we it's not like we need the grants to operate the Dream Center. That would just be icing on the cake to help save money for our next type of thing, so... Correct. Correct. Once, and that's how it is now. Like, people can give through the Dream Center, and once that goes in there, I mean, we are legally held liable to use those funds for that direct. It's the same as youth. It's the same as La Providence. There's no difference in that. Yeah. Anybody else? I love this. I think that's the most questions we've had, too. That's really exciting that I can remember. One more question? Okay. Thank you, guys. I'd like to close in prayer and have Randy close in prayer, if you would. I just appreciate you being here. I know I talked the whole time. But, just to have you here and available, you know, for these types of questions. And God's good. And let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do give you praise and we give you glory, and I know I just stand back in awe and amazement of what you have done, what you have accomplished, and that your vision is moving forward through this church, through this organization, through these people. And Lord, we just give you the praise for that. We lift you up because you are worthy of praise and honor and glory. And God, we just pray that your blessing and anointing would be on each and every volunteer, each and every attendee. God, just bless their families, their homes, and I know you will bless Journey Church and its vision and its outreach, and that you will keep on leading us and guiding us. And we just give you the praise and the glory for it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. The 2017 session is adjourned. Amen.